Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. Welcome to Focus on Albany on this pre-election Sunday. My guest today is County Council member Frank Commisso. And Frank is here to talk about what's going on with the budget hearings. So, Frank, how's it going?
Good, Cynthia. Thank you for having me on the show. We are into November now, so the City Council, the Common Council in Albany, has to now approve a budget by the end of the month. And really, the big picture on the budget is that it relies upon $12.5 million in state aid, which is not pursuant to law yet, although there are some indications that look like it's something that has been secured. There's a $1.2 million property tax increase, a $1.5 million trash fee, and all our labor contracts are expired. So certainly trying times in the city of Albany, and we've gone through all the departmental presentations at this point, and the Common Council has to put together its amendment to the budget, if any. Last year, the Common Council did not amend any of the budget, but I'm hopeful that this year there will be a handful of amendments on a whole host of issues, but we are working through that now over the next week and a half.
How dire is the economic or fiscal health of Albany?
Well, across the river, Troy, New York, of course, has a proposed 28% property tax increase and proposed increases to the water rates of 16%. Right. And I think that in Albany, given our current trajectory, if unchanged, we will face the same set of circumstances within about a year or two. And I say that for a whole host of reasons, but certainly I think having our credit rating downgraded earlier this year with the threat of future downgrades is certainly indicative of a city that's under severe fiscal stress. And the state comptroller, through the state's fiscal stress reporting system, monitoring system, I should say, has come to the same conclusion that, in fact, Albany is the most stressed city in New York State. So when you look at all that and then you have the more intimate knowledge, as we do on the Common Council, of going through these budget presentations, you can see that there is deferred maintenance projects. All the employees in the city that have labor contracts have expired contracts. And there's just a lack of seriousness from the full-time folks in City Hall as it relates to this. And I'll give you a few examples. Just last week, it was discovered that there was a $440,000 error in the budget. And that follows the practice of previous years having errors in the budget. The treasurer in the city of Albany came in to present his budget to the city council, but also usually the treasurer would give a broader commentary on the city budget as well. And the city treasurer came in and had a very weak proposal to the Common Council, had some handful of budget amendments that he solicited from the council. And thankfully the council is rejecting those requests, but there's just no level of seriousness to address the overall picture in a city where, again, the state, the credit markets are really now turning against the city, and the city really has is on a trajectory whereby the city has to take some dramatic action, and it's not happening. Certainly not going to happen with this group of folks in City Hall.
You know, there's many cities upstate. There's Utica, there's Syracuse, there's Buffalo, and a handful of others. Why is Albany more fiscally stressed than the other upstate cities?
Well, I'm not as familiar with their budgets as I am with the cities. There is the state plays a role in this, and Albany, like all the other cities, wishes that the state would take a more proactive role in providing equitable aid to it. But that aside, there are real management problems, I believe, in the city of Albany. Just take this budget, for example. There's raises in the budget for about 30 employees. That's happening while we have all our labor contracts expired. So there's a management decision right there. I talked about the errors in budgeting, and that follows previous years where there has been significant errors in the budget. And more broadly, if you look at the track record of Mayor Sheehan and her staff, they've always been very optimistic and long on projected revenues. When they make minor changes in city government, they think that they can get tremendous reductions in expenditures. There's no conservatism, okay, the concept, not the political concept, but the fiscal and accounting concept of conservatism baked into the logic at City Hall, whereby when there's a new line of revenue, you probably go short, and then you hope that the actual experience is long, or when there is some change made in the departments that you project a shorter cost savings as opposed to being very bullish on the cost savings. And that's what's happening in this City Hall is in total, after 3 years, effectively, there is no fund balance left. And this was a group that in January of 2014, when we were all sworn in, we inherited $20 million in fund balance. That's a significant amount of dollars that should have been dedicated at that time to helping ease the city's way into those reforms that are really needed, and it just hasn't happened. In fact, in our most recent audited financials for 2015, we now have only $5 million left at the end of last year. So assuming that there was some reserves spent this year as well, we effectively have no fund balance left in the city of Albany. So there's real management problems in the city of Albany. I think that that's become rather clear, and you know, I'm hopeful that that will change in the near future.
What was the point of the treasurer saying that he was going to reduce the salary? That's not going to close the budget gap. What was your reaction when you heard that?
Well, it was a proposal that, you know, I think elicited a few laughs and smiles from the folks in the room at that time when he presented that he wanted a reduction in his own salary. Now, remember, the treasurer did not propose this in year one of our four-year term, year two or year three, and he really didn't even present it in year four because the budget as it was presented on October 3rd did not contain this new proposal that the treasurer came up with. However, a handful of us on the council were able to identify the raises in the budget that, by the way, were not disclosed in the budget, but there was raises that were not presented, but we were able to find those raises. And then the treasurer, I think, wanted to ride a populist wave of, hey, reduce my own salary. But not only that, I think the more prominent benefit to him politically, for him personally, would be if he reduced his own salary, he would then be able to effectively either diminish the probability or decrease the probability that someone would run against him because, of course, the position would be less attractive. The Common Council, to its credit, actually, myself and my colleagues, doesn't sound like anyone is entertaining this. Again, if he wanted to put together a serious proposal, there's an expectation that it would be presented in the October 3rd budget proposal and the formal proposal. This was a request that was probably put together in the final hours before his presentation to the council. And, you know, again, luckily, I think that the Common Council members, and I think folks at large even, I mean, you could even see it from folks commenting on social media. It was rather transparent that he was trying to decrease the probability that he would have a challenger. So I think we're past that. And again, in my eyes, it was just a political gimmick that was certainly designed specifically for election year. And luckily, the salary will stay where it is. And the treasurer, by all means, is free to either donate his salary to charity. He's free to donate that money to the general fund of the city of Albany. There's a lot of ways that he could give that back without any legal questions and without any political questions. But to come in with that proposal at the last minute, I think, was something that folks on the council did not appreciate.
So when does the budget have to be finalized by the end of November, correct?
Yes. The Common Council has to act on the budget by the end of November, and Council could even act a week prior to that. I mean, there's a handful more meetings scheduled of the Council to consider any special requests that were made in the budget or to make other amendments to the budget, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if we ended up acting on the budget at our November 21st meeting. So that's only a few weeks away now.
Now, in past years, the mayor had proposed the red light cameras as a way to, you know, generate revenue to the city. Has the city seen significant revenue from the red light cameras?
No, not at all. And it's interesting you mentioned red light cameras because, as I mentioned before, there's a good principle of conservatism that is built into budgeting where if you have a new line of revenue that there's not the experience with, perhaps you short the line, and that hasn't happened in the city of Albany. In fact, in 2015, $2 million in revenue was budgeted. Of course, we did not generate any revenue through the program that year. And in the current year that we are in, there was $1.9 million in revenue projected from red light cameras. So over 2 years, it was $3.9 million in revenue projected from the red light camera program in the city. And there was no production out of the program. There was no revenue produced. I hate to use such strong terms, but the program's just been an utter failure. And certainly it was the program was designed to generate revenue. After all, the program was only introduced at the beginning of the budget process for the 2015 budget. So there's a great example of the city not budgeting in a sound way, not being cautious when projecting revenues. And when I talked about a fund balance that has been diminished from $20 million to now less than $5 million, well, there's one of the big pieces of it right there was $4 million projected for an unproven system, a system that there was plenty of evidence to suggest that red light cameras are not some financial silver bullet. And unfortunately, although there was four, five, six of us on the Common Council that were pleading with our colleagues to act in a cautious way as it related to the implementation of this program, our thoughts were just disregarded in that whole process. And other council members were just so bullish on the program. And it's certainly going to be, when this term is really analyzed next year in the context of the electoral process and the primaries mm-hmm. that will take place next year, I would imagine red light cameras will be a issue that many people running for public office will in fact talk about with their constituents.
Now, I live right near Lincoln Park. I live across the street from Lincoln Park. And a couple of years ago, I had gone to Mississippi Day, and the steps were a total mess. They were broken. They were chipped. There was no banister. And I kept telling my common council member, you know, the stairs in Lincoln Park have to be fixed. Something's got to be done with them. You know, I'm afraid that somebody would get hurt. And she kind of like said for maybe a year or more than a year that, oh, we have no money. We have no money. And finally it's done. And last summer, right in the middle of the summer, the pool in Lincoln Park was closed and there was a problem with the water. Now, they said that they were going to open the pool this coming summer, but there will be a significant amount of water loss to the tune, I heard, 500,000 gallons a day. We are fiscally strapped now. What do you say about the fact that the pool is not up to snuff, but they still want to open it?
Well, it's interesting. We do struggle with infrastructure, and many northeastern cities do, in fairness. That's not exclusive to Albany. But, You know, when we talk about infrastructure, we think about the streets, the sidewalks, curbs, the water and sewer systems. But we also have this historic pool, which is a real gem in Lincoln Park, that is heavily utilized by children, certainly in July to a lesser extent in August. But in those summer months, it's a place where, you know, many kids go there during the day. And, you know, when you have days where it's 90 degrees or 95 degrees, it's certainly a part of the city's recreation program that we need to maintain. What happened during this budget process, interestingly, was there is a line in the budget to conduct a study of the Lincoln Park pool. There's no line in the budget or funding to repair the pool. But I had asked the recreation commissioner about the future of Lincoln Park pool because, of course, it was closed this past year. It was closed for an entire month. And that was expressed to be part of a water supply issue when there was a water main break and a sinkhole on South Lake Avenue. And I asked the recreation commissioner, and the recreation commissioner would not guarantee that the pool would open on time this year. There was no guarantee that the pool would open at all. And we asked the water commissioner, and the water commissioner as well, this was at a separate presentation, would not guarantee that the pool would be open. So when the Department of General Services and the city engineer were in, we asked the city engineer about the issue. And, of course, what was really discovered during his testimony is that with 500,000 gallons of water lost a day, there's actually a real public safety issue as it relates to that pool. Because, of course, water leaking through the pool, going to an unknown place, is actually really presents that the pool could eventually collapse. Well, and by the way, the city engineer and the recreation commissioner, I credit them for, in the water commissioner, at least giving honest answers. But within a day thereafter of the presentation by the city engineer that there was real problems at the pool, the mayor put out a declaration that the pool will be open next year. Well, I wasn't asking the questions on the political basis of, well, would the pool open or not? I'm asking the questions and trying to get to the answer because we don't want a pool to collapse when there's people swimming in a pool because that's a real threat. And it's unfortunate that the mayor's political needs of, well, I want to open this pool, are trumping, overriding the experts in the departments, the city engineer. There should be funding in the budget to fix what's going on underneath the pool. And by the way, if that meant that the pool had to be closed for one summer, I think people would accept it if there was just an honest answer given. But it seems that we're just all closing our eyes to the fact that we have a pool, a very old historic pool, that's leaking 500,000 gallons of water a day, which the analytical side of me had to put a calculator to. That's 6 gallons of water a second in those months when it's filled. And apparently the city's just going to turn a blind eye to it. We're going to conduct the study, you know, that's fine and well, but I think we're past the point of a study at this point, right? We have 500,000 gallons of water that are leaking through this pool a day. That's rather easy to measure because we have the ability through our water system to measure that, and it's probably time that we just be honest here with folks. And again, if that means that the pool has to close for a period of time, so be it. But I think if we jumped on it now, had funding in place, go in, conduct the study that we need to conduct, and then determine what needs to be done to fix this pool, that's the best possible outcome as opposed to having kids swimming in a pool for political reasons that has real structural issues underneath the pool. And again, all our common council meetings are audio recorded, so anybody who really wanted to listen to these meetings could, because they're all available by audio. And again, those leaders in those respective departments and the engineering unit, they're not ready, willing, and able to give a clean bill of health to the pool. So it's something that should be addressed, I think, sooner rather than later.
So if there a study is conducted without fixing the pool opens at the end of the school year, something catastrophic happens, kids are hurt, then it would be, that would be a real catastrophe.
And that's why I'm just trying to arrive at an honest answer and an honest conclusion to this matter, because there's been no honesty as it relates to the pool. In fact, when the pool was closed after the water main broke on South Lake Avenue, what was provided to the public was largely an explanation as it related to water supply issues, not the issues underneath the pool. And you don't need to be an engineer to know that if it's losing 500,000 gallons of water a day, which is just a tremendous amount of water, that there's real public safety issues as it relates to that pool. And that was confirmed by the engineering, the head of our engineering unit. So, again, I mean, if we have a study conducted, great, fine, and well, but I think we have to provide funding to fix the pool. Now, that's not going to happen now because the mayor's declaring that the pool's going to stay open no matter what. That's her intention, I should say. That was how the letter read. So they did leave themselves some level of wiggle room. But why not just be honest about this? People will understand that if a pool that was built in 1931 is having issues underneath it, I think people will be reasonable. We can come up with other accommodations. We just did this past August where we had children that were bused to other pools in the city. But, you know, public safety is something I take seriously. And if the pool has those issues, they should be addressed.
Another hot button issue, as far as I'm concerned, is municipal internet. Your colleague, Jed Crasher, had introduced legislation, and my belief is it would help low-income families have affordable internet. It would help small businesses. It would help nonprofits. And it would spur economic development in the city of Albany. As of right now, what is the status of municipal internet in the city of Albany?
Well, I'm certainly glad that you bring it up. With respect to municipal internet, there's some cities in the country are starting to adopt new ways to think about economic development. That economic development is not just all providing tax incentives to folks to build buildings, new buildings that then don't pay property taxes or pay sales taxes or pay mortgage recording taxes. But some folks are starting to look at what are the preconditions to healthy, organic economic development. And having high-speed internet is one of those ways that some cities in the country are starting to experiment with and put forward their own plans and put forward their own municipally owned, municipally operated programs. Councilmember Crasher had introduced legislation about 2 years ago to put together a commission in the city of Albany that would study that possibility for the city of Albany. And unfortunately, the folks in City Hall put together their own commission, which is fine and well. I mean, I don't think Councilmember Crasher cares about who gets the credit for the idea, but they put together their own commission that never met for a year and a half. And now, just I believe it was about a month ago, could have been September, so say 2 months ago, but very recently, after doing nothing with that commission that City Hall put together for over 12 months, nearly 18 months actually, if you go look back at the record, now they're putting together some funding. I believe it's about $40,000 to conduct a study on the issue. And again, we're talking about another study, which is in action, right? And I think a lot of folks are starting to grow very tired, and very fatigued of study after study about the possibility of putting municipal internet into the city or a municipally owned, municipally operated internet program into the city. And it's just unfortunate that something that was proposed by a council member ends up getting scooped by City Hall. And that's not even the big part, but, you know, I'm not saying that you should steal people's ideas, but if you're going to steal someone's idea, do something with it. And don't just sit on the sidelines for nearly 18 months, do nothing, and then just right before election year, put in $40,000 to have that commission provide a study so then during election year it can be talked about. We need to start thinking about economic development differently in the city. I think that the current program is really a failure on many levels. We talk so often in the city of Albany about tax-exempt property. You talked about the fiscal challenges in the city earlier, and again, that leads to discussions about the state impact and ultimately tax-exempt property. A big part of the reason we have so much tax-exempt property is our IDA, that the IDA provides abatements to businesses. They don't pay property taxes, sales taxes, mortgage recording taxes. that UI and everybody else pays, and it is unfortunate that that is how we produce economic development, because those programs often do very little for the city's fiscal health in any short-term period of time. In fact, many of these pilots take 20 years. I say pilots, payments in lieu of taxes, which is what these companies receive. They don't pay taxes for 20 years in some instances. Park South will not be paying taxes until 2038. So we need to start thinking differently about economic development. And if we think about those preconditions to healthy economic development, like faster internet speeds, those are the types of things that I think the city should be looking at. I'd like to look at in our next term here in Albany of 2018, 19, 20, and 21, where, you know, things need to change. And these large abatements going out to SUNY Poly or privately owned, privately operated dorms, luxury dorms, or the Park South project, which just carved out many square blocks in the geographic center of the city, they're not working. And if municipal internet is something that other cities have had success with, why not look at it here too?
Now, I had heard that parts of Broadway don't even have any internet service at all. Is that a fact?
I apologize. I'm not familiar with the locations on Broadway where that's the case.
Okay.
It's something that I'd be happy to look at. And then, you know, if I was on again with you a month or two down the line, I'd be happy to try to provide some clarity to. But
okay.
I don't know about
terrific.
That.
Okay. So in the closing minutes, Frank, is there anything else that you'd like to bring out that people should be aware of?
Well, I mean, you know, so we talked about the budget. We talked about infrastructure in the city. We talked about economic development here just in a short period of time. But it's now we're heading into election year. And I think folks, particularly when I think about these common council races next year, with 15 wards in the city, folks really need to look at this budget and say, what's the big picture here? And to me, it's been just a great disappointment with this group of individuals running the city. And that applies to the mayor, applies to the treasurer, and I think it applies to some common council members as well. And they need to look at the big picture here and what was promised in 2013 when there was all these city elections. Competency was promised, better budgeting, putting neighborhoods first was promised by this group that came into power. And I think none of that has happened. In fact, to the contrary, this term has been just a total failure, where we had $20 million in reserves when we were all sworn in January of 2014. And those reserves have been squandered. We have no real economic development program to speak of because we're not thinking in new creative ways like you talked about before with municipal internet. And where's our priorities in the city as well when we think about, say, Lincoln Park Pool? Why would we not have funding in place? We know there's an issue. If 500,000 gallons of water are being lost, we know there's an issue there. So what I'm doing more recently is talking to a lot of folks, and there's individuals in every ward in the city that are thinking about running. And now more than ever, we really need some robust, competitive elections going into a year when there's going to be 22 races in the city. So that's my focus here after we get through the budget. And I think that that's really important next year, again, because this is an area that is really known for competitive elections. And I think it needs to be in the city of Albany next year. Otherwise, we'll probably end up insolvent and under some state control board.
So, Frank, after the budget is passed and maybe before the holidays or maybe after the holidays, would you come back and focus on Albany to give an update on what's going on in the city with the park, with municipal internet, with tax-exempt properties, or whatever else is important that you feel has to be addressed?
Absolutely. That'd be great. Thank you.
Thank you. You've been listening to Frank Commisso Jr., who's a common council member. If you like this show, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, download on your smartphone, subscribe to iTunes. If you have a comment about this show, hashtag Focus on Albany on Twitter. But most important, if you hear this and you know somebody else might want to hear this over, please share this on social networks. Thank you. Thank you, Frank, and thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great day.